Hello and welcome back to the future, or indeed the Monkey Tail podcast. I said the future because we're 1 hour ahead, I think, now. So we've traveled 1 hour into the future, which in turn means we've lost Mr. Donut, because I think he's got his timings wrong. But I am your host, Bruno Pinto, as ever. And with me, I have my friend slash co-host slash Sifu, Mr. Marius Dungle. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. I'm all right.
Question. When was the last time you actually changed the clock manually on something since the phones exist now? You know, where you ended up?
About 20 minutes ago.
Oh, so you actually, because you got an actual analog.
Microwave, I have oven.
Oh, I never changed the oven. This is what I think about the oven, right? 6 months of the year, it's wrong. Okay? That's it. 6 months of the year is wrong. The other 6 months is correct. Yeah?
I cannot allow that.
I can most certainly allow that. It confuses the shit out of my cats because they always get mixed up with what time it is, you know. But I keep telling them it's 1 hour plus, you know, for the next 6 months, you know. It's not my fault, you stupid, you know. I can't
sort of thing.
Listen to me, it's a protest. It's a dirty protest towards
it's a terrible protest. The only person you're hurting by this process is
myself.
You.
Yeah, it's a protest to this freaking time change bullshit. Okay.
No. It's got to go, man. It's got to go.
Stop it. You know what I mean? Stop it. Okay. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It messes everything up. We miss, you know, co-hosts because of it. You know, this is what happens. One time I was late for work back in the day.
People literally die as a result of this.
Exactly. It kills people. So there you go. You know, there you are. But yes, let's start the show with an opening question. So we did have one sent in again by a chief question giver, Mr. Martin. And his question was... another Reddit question. It was what's a game you spent the entirety of its length without realizing you were playing it completely wrong? Now, I gave this question to Maris 10 days ago, which is unusual because normally I give him 5 minutes before the thing starts.
I've had 10 full days to think about it in full.
Yeah, 10 full days to think about it in full, and he came up with zilch because he doesn't play games wrong. He doesn't play games wrong. It's very simple. However, I have sort of an answer. I talked about it on the podcast. I played Dark Souls. Dark Souls was a bit of didn't grab me straight away. I played Dark Souls and I really liked it, and then I got off it, and then I played it again a few months later, and again stopped, and then finally the third time going, I was like, oh wow, you know, I finally, you know, like really got it. Anyway, when I got to the final boss in Dark Souls, I was getting my ass handed to me because it turned out that the way that my build was built towards, really I had to parry. So I hadn't pre-parried the whole game. So I played the whole 50, 60 hours of the game without parrying. So then I had to learn the parrying on the last boss, and then I killed them quite easily. And subsequently, all other Souls games since then, I'm like, okay, the parrying is very important. You know, just don't worry about the shield as much. Dodging is obviously important. Either dodge or parry. Hence, the glass cannon like playthrough started with me, you know, going forward. So I'll
say, come up
with... yeah, go ahead.
Sorry,
yeah.
I might have come up with an answer.
Okay, cool. Give us that in a second. Yeah. So, just final thoughts on the Dark Souls thing. I don't think I was playing it wrong because Dark Souls is a game where it's a role playing game where you can play it in so many different ways. You can have a mage build, which is just doing range, and there's other ways of playing it where the parry is not necessary. To beat the game, it was necessary in the way I built my character, but I would say parry is a staple on the Souls games, and I think so. Yeah, one could say that I was playing it wrong. So, but yeah, it's difficult to play a game wrong. You know,
yeah. So in my answer is a sort of similar thing. I don't think it's necessarily playing it wrong, but it's certainly not playing it in the optimum way. But then I also think I was playing it the way that I was playing is right for the people that I was playing against, because it's actually Tekken. And thinking about it, like, certainly like in the early days of my Tekken, I'm going to use the word career. There's no career in never once have I been paid for Tekken. I do think, you know, like I'd learn or I'm I'm going to use the word all. Let's say I learned all of the 10 hit combos and stuff like that. You know, the sort of preset sort of 10 string combos. And that sort of worked for me because I was mostly playing people that just fucking didn't know how to deal with that. But if I actually, you know, that is not the way to play Tekken, because anyone that has any idea about it will just block those. No problem. All they have to do is learn, you know, if they also know those combos, they just block them. Whereas the way you should really play it is using, you know, individual moves to create your own sort of combos.
Yeah.
And whilst I did that as well, you know, I definitely quite heavily relied on those 10 hit strings that would never work against anyone that actually is any good at Tekken.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good answer. As I think mine is within, you know, it's difficult. So this, you know, because especially nowadays with games, they have tutorials like this. We do this, you do this, you do this. It's difficult almost to play a game wrong. But you know, you can. So there's some answers here on Reddit. So this guy says he had a friend that spent 150 hours on Skyrim. One day he was talking about how it's supposed to be a dragon game, but he had never seen a dragon. He never did the initial quest on right run, so he was doing all the side quests. We actually hadn't initialized the first side quest. I have another one, which is from formerly of this parish, Mr. Kerry Sambrook, a former host, if you guys remember.
Whoa.
This is, in fact,
oh, yeah,
I know this. You know this is going to be. Yeah. This is how we actually met, basically, because we didn't work on the same floor. So other than seeing each other sometimes on the break room, we didn't really, you know, never talk. And one time I was talking to him on the phone, ordering some parts, because you worked in part ordering, and I, you know, worked in a department that sometimes needed to order the parts. Anyway, boring. Anyway, so he says to me, I heard you talking about Fallout. You know, I'm like, yeah, I was talking about Fallout. Yeah, you like games? Yeah, like, did all that thing. Yeah, I like games, all of that. He's like, yeah, but I don't like those caves. They're so dark. It's impossible to see it. So what I do is I turn my brightness on my TV up to the maximum so that I can see, like, the walls inside, the cave, so I can explore. I'm like, why don't you press and hold B to turn the flashlight on the peep point? And he goes like, what? So he has been playing, like, more than half of the game, not knowing you could turn the light on. So, yeah, that's the actual true answer from Kerry. Yeah, we need to get Kerry back on again, you know? I think now that we do this remotely, I'm sure he can probably pop in every now and then. Well, we'll see. Anyway, maybe he knows how to tell the time, you know? But yes, I'm sure I thought that.
In defense, Kerry doesn't have multiple time zones to consider.
It does not. Kerry does not have multiple time zones, correct. Also, I thought when I used to talk to Kerry on email before I spoke to him ever on the phone, I thought he was a girl, because Kerry, you know, my Portuguese,
it's a girl's name, isn't it?
Basically, it's a girl's name. Yeah, so that was my thinking. But there you are.
Well, we're probably not allowed to say that anymore, right? Complaints go to
You can absolutely send complaints to podcast@monkeytail.uk. But I can say, if I say, like, Marius, I could say, I think that's a girl's name. That's fine, you know. And you can say, well, it isn't. I'm like, fair enough. You know what I mean? And that's that. That's no complaint. It's just, it's if anything, it's ignorance. But that's no complaint required. Yeah. But you know where to send the complaints. We like those. And if you want to send us opening questions, same email also works. But yes. Let's move on now. We normally move on to That Looks Interesting. We talk about the video game news. Nothing major, really. There's a few things. There's a couple acquisitions. The people that do Borderlands, they were acquired by Take-Two, I think, now. So they were bought back from Embracer, which is good, because Embracer is, evil at the moment and fucking everything up, so that's a good thing, I guess. Yeah, but nothing more than that. Nothing. A few rumors here and there, but like GTA 6 might be delayed. Well, shock, you know. Most games get delayed. That's stuff like that, but nothing major. So we'll leave the news segment and we'll jump on straight onto the playlist, which is the part of the show where we talk about the video games we've been playing over the last couple of weeks. And let me tell you, I have been on a journey. I am on a another podcast. I listened to this guy saying that he was playing Virtual Boy games, you know, on his 3DS, yeah? Because you could play with the 3D from a 3DS. And I'm like, oh, wow, I really want to do that. That's cool as fuck, so I want to do that. So I purchased a 3DS, and incidentally, I've installed that it's called Red Viper, this app. I've installed that. I haven't been able to get it to run yet, so, but because I got distracted with other things. But this journey took me on. Let's rediscover some of the 3DS games that I didn't get a chance to play. And I started with Metroid: Samus Returns, which is a remake of the second Metroid game. I think not Super Metroid, the one that came afterwards. I think I guess it's the third game in a way, but it's a remake of Metroid 2 or. In fact, it's a remake of the game of the same name, Metroid: Samus Returns. Yeah, and it was done by I forgot the name of the team now, but the team that I'm just quickly googling it. It's difficult always with Nintendo, and we've had this, and I'll talk about it when we finish the playlist. We have some grievances sent to us because of our answers we gave for the best gaming run. Okay, you're gonna like this. But anyway, with Nintendo, it's always difficult because they always say it's Nintendo develop these things, even though they have obviously a lot of different studios. But the team that did this remake did such a good job that Nintendo got them to do Metroid Dread, so that was their game. After this game, they went on to do Metroid Dread, which is another phenomenal Metroid game. And let me tell you, what a game this is! I love the Metroid games. I think the Metroid games are probably my favorite Metroidvania games. And this one's such strong straight away. You know, it's simple to understand. You go in, you get these lifts where you have to get this Helix thing you get from destroying Metroids, yeah. Mm-hmm. And each lift needs, you know, first one needs one, and then the other one might need two or three, and then each lift needs more, and you unlock in different parts of the map, and you unlock in teleports, and there's all that nice Metroidvania thing of jumping back, and now you unlock the weapon that can open that, and it's all the same thing that you have on all the Metroid games, but they have a parry mechanic, you know, like when flying enemies are coming, you can just parry and shoot. They have they have all the things you like on a Metroid game. It's just such a perfect game. They got the wall jump, they got the wall grab. They've just added all the nice quality of life things you have with more modern games on this one. And I really like with the 3DS. First of all, the 3D effect is great. There's a great stereoscopic thing of seeing the foreground and they do a great job.
It looks great, doesn't it? Yeah.
Especially with the Metroids, when they're coming in, the bosses, they kind of like come from the mm-hmm. from the foreground and then come in 3D onto your eyes and then back into the level and then that type of stuff is really good. The presentation on this is phenomenal. It's second to none, really. And then the 3DS is the perfect place to play a Metroid game because you have the game on the first screen and you have the map on the bottom screen. So you always have the map. You don't have to go and press pause to the map. It's always there. You can always see it. And there's the mechanic of scan mechanic where you can look for hidden walls and then you can see straight away on the map. Oh, yeah, that one there, yeah. Little beep there. Let me go and investigate that. Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say other than what I just said. But to me, this is so far a perfect game. There's no negatives whatsoever on this. This is a top-notch game. Now, if you have a 3DS and you can grab a copy of Samus Returns, there's other ways to get copies, obviously. But I would recommend buying it, of course. You know, you should always support the developer. So if you can get a copy of this game, what a game! what a game this is. And funny thing, some old listeners or long-time listeners, let me rephrase that, long-time listeners will know that we reviewed this game back on, I want to say episode 84, you said? Was it 84?
Well done.
Does my memory serve me right? Yes, because Marius played it way back when. The other surprising thing about this, you probably know the answer because you just checked when we reviewed the game. But that game came out in 2017. I didn't know they were still making 3DS games in 2017. So there you go. So
it feels like that was sort of a last hurrah, I think, for the 3DS.
Maybe
I can't think of any other big name 3DS games that came out after that, to be honest.
Nor can I. We need to one day. Maybe we need to do a feature on the best or not best, like discussing the end of generation games, because some games that come out at the end of a generation are just out of this world. You know, this is one of them. But there's other examples of that, like the games when they come out when the developer just has everything. They can get every single bit out of a console.
Shadow of Colossus immediately springs to mind.
Shadow of Colossus, yes. I want to say there was a God of War that came in towards the end as well.
Yeah, correct.
That was really good. Was it God of War 2?
That came in towards
the end, and it was like just singing and dancing, like just absolutely, you know. Hitting everything. Mass Effect 3 springs to mind as well. Mass Effect 3 was towards the end of the 360, and it was again pretty good. So there's lots of games that came out towards the end of a console's run that are great. And the funny thing is, all of those games I missed because people moved on, me included. I had sold my 3DS by then. I made up with it by buying two 3DSs. So there you go. I bought a 3DS, and then I learned about the new 3DS, which is has double the RAM, double the power, and you can play 11 more games. Well, like I didn't care so much about the 11 new games, but I cared about the more stuff, because I do want to run homebrew on it. In fact, I am running homebrew on it, and there's lots of fun. Homebrew applications to play, including that Red Viper, which I'm definitely want to go into it and play some of these Virtual Boy games in 3D, and I want to try a lot more of that stuff. So I'm really enjoying my I'm doing inverted commas with my fingers. Yeah, the modding of to be fair, there is some sort of modding. I am doing things like shell swapping and stuff like that. But yeah, it's Metroid Samus Returns is a phenomenal game. And also Switch, Nintendo, why is this game not on Nintendo? I mean, I know you cannot do the 3D, and I know you cannot do the two screens, but why is this not on a Switch? It should be on a Switch already. So good, you know. It's so good. You would lose something by not having it in 3D. I do honestly think that 3D adds to this game personally. You know, I do. Mm-hmm. I think the 3D adds to it. And the dual screen adds to it as well, definitely. But you could play, you could bring that into
the... You could do that on Switch.
But the two screens?
Yeah.
Well, screen and a half?
If you're playing on TV.
They haven't really done that, but they shouldn't they? Because that would be like more like the Wii U.
I'm sure that's possible.
No, hang on a second. But when you put on the dock, it's dark. You cannot see the screen.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's the only problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Good idea.
USB connect. You like connect it with?
USB-C. Yeah. We'll see what happens with apparently, and I skipped the news because we don't do rumors. But apparently, there's a rumor that the next Switch is not going to be called the Nintendo Switch 2, but it's going to be called the Nintendo Attach. And if it is that, they're making another Wii U fucking mistake. Stop calling it stupid names. Put a 2 in front of it. People will buy it. People will buy loads of it. Don't
people
confuse.
People fucking buy it anyway, but yeah.
The Wii U didn't sell because of it. Because people got confused. If they don't you agree? If they called it the Wii 2, it would have sold more.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't think I don't think you can put its name. Isn't the entire reason for the Wii U's?
I think you have obfuscated confused a lot of people.
But then, the Wii wasn't exactly a fucking good name, was it?
Wii was terrible, but he sold the handle.
So that's proof.
No, my point is not that. My point is the Wii was different from the GameCube. If after the GameCube they called something the Game Triangle or Game Squared, you know what I mean? Like what or the GameCube Attach, you know, like what? Is this an attachment for the GameCube? Adding a two. PlayStation does it right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Five. Guess what the next one is going to be called? PlayStation 6. Anything you want. How much you any money you want, the next one will be called 6.
Yeah, it does keep... I agree. I think that's the way to do it. It does sort of keep it simple, but...
Yeah, kiss.
Nintendo are going to do what Nintendo fucking
need to. They need to kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah, kiss. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the acronym. But I'm not the only one that's been playing an older title. You've been playing an even older title, I would venture, I guess. Spec Ops The Line. This is in my video game list of shame that I haven't got around to do it yet. I know you're talking about Kerry Sambrook earlier, formerly of this parish. I know this is a game he loved, Spec Ops The Line. Mm. He absolutely loved it. I know you like it as well a lot.
Yeah, I do. 2012.
Oh, it is older than Metroid. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Yeah. It came out, it was in the news a few months ago, because it got delisted on Steam, and it's one of those that, you know, I've been thinking about replaying it for ages. It's one of those that has been installed on my Steam library for quite some time, but I've overlooked it a little bit and just like, you know, I've played it before, so I've been playing other stuff, but it coming into my mind because of the news story about it, I thought I'd give it another go. I'm glad I did. It's still a great game. I think it is overlooked by a lot of people, yourself included. I think part of the reason it is overlooked is, on face value, it's a fairly straightforward cover-based military shooter, essentially. Okay. So gameplay-wise, it doesn't necessarily do anything particular you haven't seen before. You know, this is a squad of three. You only play one character, but you have a squad of AI, two AI teammates. You can sort of chuck a couple of basic orders at them, you know, shoot that dude, basically. hide behind cover, pop out and shoot the people until they don't move anymore. But it's so much more than that. Because of the story and the way that it's told. So I see why people have overlooked it. I don't think the name, again, talking about names and stuff, I don't think the name is particularly inspiring to people either. But it's so good. Like, it tells this story of this squad going in to Dubai, basically, which is... it's sort of set, I guess, in the future a little bit, and it's like, I'm not sure exactly when it is set, but I get the feeling it's sort of supposed to be in the future, and it's although there's no like crazy weapons or anything like that, but Dubai is sort of in a state of ruin. There's been, you know, war in Dubai. There's these massive sandstorms, and that is one of the cool things about it. Like, sand plays a quite a big role. So you have these sandstorms that affect visibility at times, and like, you know, they had this tech for the sand that the game was built around. So like, for example, there are bits where someone's standing by a window with a load of sand behind it, so you can shoot the window out and the sand will drop on them and take out a load of enemies in one go, sort of thing. Which is quite cool. It tells this story of you going in to try and, like, this sort of battalion, if that's the right word, or this other group of soldiers that have sort of gone rogue. So it's you go in to try and sort that situation out. And the story's told really well. And it does, you know, It's just such so much more interesting stuff than any other of that type of game, I think, which is what sort of elevates it for me. It makes, you know, it has an actual real commentary on war and some of the horrific things that happen during war. Also deals with sort of, you know, like mental health, PTSD and stuff like that. And yeah, like I say, it just, that makes it so much more than the basic third person cover shooter that it is underneath. It's actually much more than that because of all of that stuff. So yeah, if you already have it in your library, I strongly recommend this is a game to play or indeed replay. The other real little thing that it does right at the start, you know, it does that you know, filmy thing of having the credits as you're playing the opening. But then it comes up with special guest star Kung Fu Moz, because I obviously read your name and puts you in the credits of the of the game. And I just fucking like that. I was like, yeah, it's me. They used to, it's a really little thing, but I like
they used
it.
To do that with Left 4 Dead as well. At the end on the credits, he would say, you know, starring, and then he would have the four people as well and the type of stuff. So that's always cool when they do it. It's such a simple thing to implement.
Six hours.
Yeah, no, Spec Ops: The Line is definitely on my shame list, as is another game we'll be talking about in a little bit. I do want to go into it. I was trying to find out here when we talked about it. I don't know. I cannot find it here. I'm sure we have talked about it, but maybe I didn't tag it properly. But what I remember Carrie saying back in the day anyway was that this was a close story to Heart of Darkness.
It's based on
that, and another adaptation of it, like as Apocalypse Now is an adaptation of Heart of Darkness. So and that, not to be confused with the game called Heart of Darkness, which I'm sure. Excellent. I think was that PlayStation 1 game by that one as well.
Yeah
that one probably is due a replay at some point, you know, like see if it still holds up. I do like going back to old games, but I've been playing a brand new game, a game that that came out by the time you listen to this, and I always do this really well. But by the time you listen to this, it came out like maybe 4 or 5 days ago. It came out on the 28th of April, and that is One Last Breath. And what is One Last Breath? One Last Breath is a 2.5D side-scrolling action platformer puzzler game, similar to think Limbo, think Inside, Planet of Lana, that type of game. From all the games I've just mentioned, the one that it resembles the most, if you look on from an aesthetic point of view, is definitely Inside. It heavily inspired by Inside, and he has that nice 2.5D perspective where as you're walking through, some things are in the foreground, some things in the background, and as you traverse through through this post-apocalyptic world, I got some notes here. Let me quickly grab my notes. First of all, we're talking, this is a couple hour long game, hour and a half, 2 hours long game, so short experience. But the game is about 15 quid, so not too bad for the run. We always say we like smaller games. You play this being. You can like reborn this character. Character is called Gaia. Gaia is she or they. Gaia is normally in Portuguese. Gaia is a feminine name. So as I said, she and the character looks feminine. But as I said, she does nothing to say it's a man or a woman. But Gaia tends to be a in the Portuguese sense, certainly tends to be a girl's name. So I'm going to continue with she going forward for the rest of this review. She can control things like mainly roots on Earth. So there's these points where you go towards this glowing green orb things, and you go towards it, and you you can press a button X, and then you press up and down, and you control the routes either up or down, or you create bridges, or you open up doors that are closed with routes, and you solve puzzles that way sometimes. There's these mutants that are all, there's a lot of animals, right? Because it's post-apocalypse, the animals are retaking Earth, I guess. It's you know, but there's still some mutants, you know, from the Fallout. And sometimes they chase you, and if they grab you, they kill you, insta-kill. But that you go back to the checkpoint, so it's not, the checkpoint's not too bad. And so that is a bit of fundamental stealth. But yes, so sometimes you can move the roots to block them from attacking you. Other times you move the roots so you can escape or you know, do it slightly so you can jump over a bridge. It's very atmospheric. I think this game has more style than it does gameplay. Okay, so the gameplay to me is simple. Okay. The puzzles are, for the most part, simple as well. There's one or two where it took me, you know, a few seconds to work out, maybe 30 seconds. I'm like, hang on a second, what? You know, and like it did make me go, and then oh yeah, it's quite obvious. There's only one way to solve these puzzles, and they're not terribly hard to decipher. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's more of a visual storytelling game that's taking you through this mostly dead world with the hints of beauty coming back, and also horror, especially when the mutants are chasing you. And the use of perspective on this is really good. So sometimes you see a mutant in the background, and then you make some noise, and then you see it starting running towards you, and like, oh shit, off you run, yeah. And it's a lot of that, rinse and repeat. So short story. It's not as good as Inside. It's not as good as Limbo. It's not as good as Planet of Lana. But sometimes it's hard to compare games like this to those games, because those three games I just mentioned are three. Top of the mm-hmm. Of the class games, right? Excellent games. I think this one looks as good as the those three. Maybe not Planet of Lana. Mm-hmm. I think from all those three, I said Planet of Lana probably looks the best. I think it's Limbo as well. Limbo is pretty stylistic.
Stylistic, but
Planet of Lana is just
look like there's no way you could that's definitely the best looking.
But this looks great. This looks the art design on this is top notch. The sound design is really excellent. The visual storytelling is really good as well. The controls are basic, sometimes a bit funky, but fine. When I first started playing the game, and this is ultra wide monitor issues, and so I allowed me to put the ultra wide resolution on it, and by allow me to, let me explain what I mean by that. But when I say, if a game is not going to support it from a gameplay point of view, don't offer it, okay? Because I had to change it afterwards, because there was a point in the game, right, where he offered me the ultra wide, and I was playing it, right? And I got to this part, and I'm like, I have no idea how to pass this. And I spent like 10 minutes on it, like, and I'm like, okay, this is a hard puzzle because I'm really not getting it. And then I press the button. That's like a hook, like a vine she throws into to be able to cross. And I just press the button by mistake, and then he grab onto this point that you can grab on. I'm like, I cannot see the point because the points glow. I couldn't see that point there, right? So then I quit the game. I changed my resolution to 16:9. Reloaded the game, right? And I could see it there, like just flashing, like easy. I'm like, right, so I've been missing a third of the game, and there's information there. So if you're not gonna, if I cannot see that, don't let me put the don't let me select that resolution. So I played the rest of the game on 16:9, and I had no more issues like that, you know. So overall, I think if you like those games I just said, your Limbos, your Insides, your Planet of Lanas, this is an easy recommendation. You know, for the price, it's fine. It's not as good as those, but it's a good game. It's 2 hours as well, so you know. It looks stunning, though. I love post, as you know, post-apocalyptic is my favorite genre, and it just looks stunning. I love seeing this Earth, like especially the post, what we call it, the post-apocalyptic, when you have when it's not everything's brown, you have the Earth starting to get back like your horizons, your enslaved, when it's past that part, and this is one of those. So yeah, that's One Last Breath. It's thumbs up from me, but with the proviso that is some clunk here and there, but certainly it makes up for it in the visual storytelling and in how it looks and how it sounds. Yeah, so that's One Last Breath. Right, moving on to Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. I played recently, I haven't finished, but I played recently, and you replayed it, because obviously the new one is coming up soon, so is that why you played
Absolutely. I saw it's in a couple of months, I think, at some point in May. I can't remember the release date of the new one, but I know it's May. I just caught a trailer or something announcing the release date or something, I can't remember, but I thought, yeah, you know what, I'd quite like to have a refresh of my memory of the old one. I played through it again, and yeah, it's still a bloody good game. I really enjoyed it. I guess a bit like Spec Ops: The Line. I think if you just isolate the gameplay on its own, there's nothing that special there.
No.
But I think the whole package, like when you include the presentation in particular and like the acting and motion capture, is fucking amazing. Like, really, and you know, still looks good. Like the facial animations and expressions and how they capture all of that is really, really good. But the combat isn't that, you know, it's like use your block to parry, then whack the button until the thing is dead, then parry again, whack it till it's dead. You know what I mean? There's nothing massively special there. And the puzzles are essentially look and line up the things in the environment, puzzle solved. There's not much more than that to it. But like, not every game needs to be fucking complicated, man. Like, you don't, like, that's absolutely fine. And it's more, it is about the story, and I think like that setting and environment, and you know, like it's different because it deals with Norse mythology. It's difficult not to have some God of War comparisons when you're talking about it. And you know, again, I find that really interesting because you know that it's talking about the same characters and the same stories and stuff like that, but this different interpretation of it. This is much more this is the grim, bleak tale of it. It's. I mean, like I say, I think the style is great, but this ain't God of War's beautiful. You know, there's beautiful colours and things coming into your eyeballs from God of War. This is just much more bleak, and this is the more grim version of it. And again, you know, it makes a point of saying, putting a thing up at the start, this is, you know, the character has psychosis, and I think it deals with that sort of mental health stuff quite well, and you know how you have these voices in your ears from the these voices that Senua is hearing, and I think that works really well, and I think, like, you know, it's quite cool the way that they use that as a bit of a guide. Like, I think, like, one of the issues like God of War has and those types of games is when you get enemies behind you, because it's third person and stuff, like you can't always see the enemies, and the way that, like, it does things like use those voices to warn you that there's an enemy coming in to attack you from behind. It's just, you know, it's a little bit more in keeping with the game and what they're trying to do in the story than having a big red indicator that says attack coming this way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they did that well. So, yeah, and again, another, like, 6 hour or so game, something like that, I think it was. So, yeah, I still enjoyed that game. Like I said, I hadn't remembered quite how simple some of the gameplay and the puzzling side was of it. But I think that's not necessarily a complaint. That's just that, in fact, it's not a complaint. That's just the way that the game is. And that is actually a good thing, and that works well for the game.
Yeah, exactly. If I go back to the game I was just talking about, One Last Breath, same thing. You know, being simplistic doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. It just means you can present you the story, you know, in the way you want to, which is what, obviously, Shen was trying to do. On the Norse mythology point, we played the game recently, you and I, that had the Norse mythology, and it was the dark kind. Do you remember when we played the Bramble King?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was Norse mythology, but like the...
Yeah, slightly different. It wasn't the same.
No, it was Norse mythology, but it was it wasn't the god.
It wasn't the well-known, it wasn't like the sort of...
No, it wasn't the Thor in the... Yeah. And, and sorry, I just remember the really dumb Thor joke, which I'm not gonna say on the podcast. Oh, do I? Yeah.
I think you have now. It's too late now. You have to whether we want you to or not.
Thor meets this woman and in the nightclub and has a one night stand with her. And then in the morning he wakes up and he goes like, "Hi, I'm Thor. You Thor? You see how I feel?" It's something like that. I fucked it up a bit. That's such a bad joke. There you are.
Thanks for that.
That's all right. That might or may not stay in. In fact, it's staying in. It's in the middle of the podcast. There's no way I'm going to go find it to edit it out. There's no way I'm going to do the work. I'm not even going to take a time code from it. You also been playing Super Mario Galaxy.
Yes, indeed.
Again, you played it before, haven't you?
Yeah. Again, yes.
Yeah.
Of course. One of my favourite games. This and the second one were absolutely amazing. I bought a little while ago. I bought the Super Mario All Stars on Switch, which has obviously Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and this.
You know, you cannot buy that on the digital store.
Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous.
It is insane.
Okay, carry on. I wanted to buy it the other day because I fancy playing Sunshine. Because I didn't give enough of a go.
I started playing that a little while ago, and other things happened, and I fell off it a bit, to be honest. But I will go back and play it. But I just wanted something that I needed something that was comfortable, that I knew what I was doing, and just like jumping around with Mario, you know what I mean? And yes, it's still a bloody excellent game. And you know what? It's again part of it, you know, because of the art style and that. But it still looks really good. Like, it's amazing.
WND, Weird Nintendo Decisions, right? So the game is not available on for download. You can also not buy the game because it was a limited release only. And there's three games there, but they don't put Super Mario Galaxy 2. Why?
I know. It is mad, isn't it? But
I do want to play it. I do want to play it. I might be forced to emulate it because I cannot buy it. That might be my only recourse.
You can just borrow it from me when I finish with it.
Or maybe I'll borrow it from you when you finish with it.
Super Mario Galaxy does a lot of cool stuff, and you know, just Nintendo being Nintendo, man. Like, you know, the way that it works, that you're, you know, each level is set over a, or like a series of just little planetoids floating in space, which sort of almost entirely eliminates any issues with the camera. because there are no walls or anything to get in the way, basically. So it just makes it really smooth and easy to play from that sort of level. And again, it's Nintendo doing their thing again, particularly, you know, which they do particularly well with obviously the Mario games, is that they just have these small little levels. They're not massive, but they just rinse those levels for every possible gameplay opportunity. You know, you have multiple stars that you can try and get on each level, and you're using the same environment, but there might just be a little bit more of it that you need to go to. Or, you know, there's just, they do something slightly different with that area. And they just get maximum value from each level. The thing that doesn't work so well with it is the fact that this was originally a Wii game,
right?
So I think I've been playing it entirely in handheld mode, and I think that is the problem. I think if you're playing this on the TV, you can eliminate the problems that it has. So, like, for example, like, you used to play it like the on the Wii, it was like with the nunchuck and the remote combo. Yeah. And like, there's certain things in it where you would use the, you know, the pointer on the remote to do.
Yeah.
So, like, you can point to collect things.
Oh, yeah. Can you do it like this on this one as well?
You can do it. Yeah. If you're playing on, like, you can obviously, if you unhook what they call Joy-Cons, you can play it that way. So I think that would be fine, but I'm not playing it that way. I'm playing it in handheld mode. It doesn't, like, for example, there's sort of grab points that you can use. So you would point at that, and then you can sort of pulls Mario towards it, and then you point at another, and there can be chains of these that you go through. Now, when you're playing handheld, you do that, you point on you press on those things. Right. But then I have to juggle, like, you have to juggle your hands because you have to press, and then you have to press a button, and by pressing on the screen, I can't see the fucking screen because my finger and hands are in front of the screen. So it actually makes some of those bits really cumbersome. And also, you know, because it was a Wii game, it does have some sections that are motion control bits, which again doesn't work if you're holding the thing that you're looking at, because when you fucking have to tilt that thing, you have to sort of move with it so you can actually see the screen still. So I think this is, you know, the way to play this is most of it probably doesn't matter. Yeah, most of it doesn't matter. But there are certain sections where, like, it should absolutely be played on the big screen using the Joy-Cons to fully emulate that feel of playing it on the Wii U. Because again, it's just that Nintendo thing. That game was designed for the controllers.
Yeah.
It was designed for the Wii, which is something that Nintendo do brilliantly. And outside of that, you know, if you don't have that same control scheme, it just isn't quite as good. Still an excellent game, and like I say, that's just by playing it in handheld mode. If you play it on your TV using the Joy-Cons, then I may well start playing some more of the game like that, I think.
Interesting thing is...
just it, yeah.
Yeah, I would, if I was playing it, without knowing why you just told me, I would play with, because I got a pro controller, because I don't like the Joy-Cons. Mm-hmm. So I would have played it either in handheld, or if it was on my monitor or my TV, it would have been with a pro controller. So the Joy-Cons never come out. They never detach from the thing, really. You know?
I may be wrong, but I think just the that might still work.
It has motion thing.
It might work with that, but yeah, I still think, you know, the Joy-Cons would be the way to play it.
Yeah, I will at some point. Question though for you, Marius, you had a 3DS, you do have a 3DS as well, but you had a Switch for a long time, right? How many times have you played the game on a rooftop with other people where you put the But every
other time I play my Switch, I play it on a rooftop with other people. I alternate, yeah.
Alternate, then you put the little screen down, yeah. And you like.
Yeah, just so that they can watch me play. No, yeah. I don't have four player. I just invite them around. Yeah. Want to marvel at my gaming prowess on a rooftop on a really small screen. Yeah.
Well, you say that, but funny enough, back in the day, you did play Resident Evil 2 with people looking at you on the small screen.
I did play Resident Evil 2 with people watching me. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not super unusual. All right. Okay. Well, we started with the Metroidvania, so let's end with the Metroidvania. We started with an excellent Metroidvania. One of the best. Are we gonna continue with the continuation of that? You've been playing Prince of Persia: The Lord's Crown, which came out early this year on Ubisoft on everything. I think on
Ubisoft everything. Yes.
On everything. PS4, Xbox, Switch, PC.
Yes, I've been playing it on PC.
Yeah.
I think look. Ultimately, this is a good Metroidvania. I think you will really, really fucking like this game. You might even like this game more than I like this game.
Yeah, I know. I played it at the GX.
Yes, yes. I think it took me a while to get into it, to be honest. For a few reasons, I think I don't think it's actually that good looking, and you know, I think it could do better visually. It feels like they didn't like it could have done with a few more quid chucked at it. It feels like just a few more quid just to tie it up and make it look a little bit prettier. I think wouldn't have hurt this game. I'm not all about the visuals, like that's right. Not me, but still.
How does Moon Studio does it? How does Moon Studio does it? Because Ori and the Blind Forest and Ori and Will of the Wisps look like a Pixar movie. Both
yeah,
of those games, right?
I know. That's, yeah,
that is the
I
way know, to do it. Mad.
Yeah. So yeah, it didn't quite get me on the visuals, and like does it like it at the it didn't. Like the further you go through, the less it matters. But like particularly at the start, there's a lot of these sort of like talking head conversations. When you're having these conversations, there's no real animation or anything like that. It's just like they stick the you know a cartoon image of the a hand drawn image of the characters and then the text sort of thing. So I found that a bit annoying. But like it was one of those. Like, I think then, it to start with, I was like, oh, it feels a bit cumbersome. I wasn't quite getting it. I wasn't like the parry timing. I struggled with, and I found the combat to be quite limited and boring. You just sort of whack X and then parry every now and then, and that was it. And then literally 5-10 minutes after I'd written my note about that down, I was like, oh no, hang on. And there's actually a lot the fighting mechanics actually then started growing a lot. And I guess, you know, part of this is just a Metroidvania thing, because it's not just with the fighting, it's also with the, you know, the traversal and stuff as well. Yeah. It just opens up as you go along, you know, because you get more abilities and stuff like that, and you know, you can do more as time goes on. But I found it was a little bit of a slog the first couple of hours or so to get to that part where you'd opened up enough that it made it more interesting. But once it did, excellent, like
okay.
really good. I it doesn't fuck about this game. I think I said that out loud to it several times actually while I was playing it. Like the combat is like it doesn't fuck about.
Keeps you honest, yeah.
As I do with most things nowadays, I drop the combat down. To an easier, but it's funny, isn't it? Because it also offers that option with the platforming stuff, And you know how you get pissed off when it tells you, do you want to drop it down to easy?
Yeah.
With the fighting, I'm like, yep, no problem. Don't fucking tell me, do I need my platforming easier? How dare you? I don't care about the fighting, but the platforming.
Hang on a second. That sounds like Pod Kettle there for a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I laughed at myself as I was doing it. I immediately thought, it's funny how I'm okay with the fighting being made easier, but the platforming, absolutely no fucking way.
To me, the one that annoys me is on a game especially when I die for the first time or I'm still learning the controls, and it goes like, oh, you can turn it too easy. I'm like, oi, give me a fucking chance. I haven't even fucking.
Well, it does do that.
Yeah, give me a second. Yeah, and the other one is as well when I'm playing something like an Uncharted or something. Let's say I get to a puzzle room and I get a text message or something, or I quickly go and check my phone. Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, send a message. Mm. Yeah, come back to it. Yeah. Oh, do you want a hint? I'm like, no. I paused the game for a reason. You know, I paused. If it's paused, it means I'm not working on it. Okay, so chill your boots, man. Chill your boots. Give me a chance to figure out. I do want to play the game. I will play the game. But
I think you will. I think you might like it more than me, because again, it has some of the sort of Dark Soulsy bits not massively, but it has little Dark Soulsy bits, and there's an element of that. So I think with the combat on the normal, you know, difficulty, I think you will get a lot more out of that than I actually did. It's there's a fucking lot of it. Like the map, I finished the main story. I haven't gone and, you know, got all of the stuff and found everything. There's still a lot of the map that I haven't, you know, I haven't been to. It is massive. There's loads of it in there. It does, like you mentioned with Samus Returns.
Yeah.
It's still that having to keep going to the map is a bit annoying. It could do with a little mini map or something in the corner, I think.
Or a second screen.
or a second screen, yeah. But what it does do that I've not seen before in a Metroid, which again just added something, it's essentially just a map marker, yeah? So it's not that, doesn't sound that exciting, but they do it in a different way. In that essentially what you do, you can take a screenshot when you're actually not on the map, when you're in the game, so you take a screenshot of that screen so you can see exactly what it is you're looking at, and then that places a map marker on the map in that screen. And then you can go in and see the screenshot, so you know what thing it is, you know what you're looking at. And so once you've unlocked the ability, you can go back and look at the map and go, because I forget, I was like, oh shit, why did I put a map marker there? And then it sort of shows you what it is, and I thought that was a really good way of dealing with that.
It is, or you do what Metroid does, which is every door shows up with the color that of the gun you need to use.
But it's not just doors, is it? Like sometimes it'll be a treasure chest that you want to get to.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. So there's a way to get there.
You can't get to it until you've got the stuff unlocked. But this works for everything. And I thought that was really good. Some of the platforming bits were it does not fuck about. The story is where I do not care.
Yeah,
even a slight bit about the story, I thought it was meh. There is one particular bit that I think was really. Do I want to say it? It's one of those. I don't know whether it's a bit.
Yeah, don't say it. If you're not sure, don't say it.
If you're not sure, don't say it. Like I mentioned about the visuals, doesn't look good, but they do something really cool with the. Which I think visually works well and good for the levels in relation to sort of time and maybe I guess a bit Matrixy in that, not quite bullet time, but in sort of time stopping and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That look really good. But yeah, I think it's right not to mention that, because I think it's quite a nice surprise and just looks really cool, not knowing it's coming. But yeah, look, it's a hearty, full on recommendation from me.
Good.
Yeah, I really loved it. It was great.
I will. It's on my listen, there's so many games on my to-do list at the moment. It's ridiculous. And I'm actually with May approaching, May the 4th approaching, yeah. You bet your like the Americans say, you bet your bottom dollar, is that the saying they say? That Jedi Survivor will be on Game Pass by then, as a May the 4th thing, you know, because it's been a year since you've been out and I still want to play that.
I saw it was going fairly cheap. A couple of weeks ago.
It's gonna be on Game Pass. And it's not even a Game Pass thing, it'll be on EA Play. That's what I mean, you know, because obviously Game Pass has EA Play, right? Right, okay, so that's the playlist. Some fantastic games, today again. We'll move over to that looks interesting, but before we get there, that we do have some feedback.
Feedback or a complaint? Can we just be clear about what this is?
Both. Well, right. I have put this to bed already. Okay, on your behalf, okay. And on my behalf, and on Donald's behalf. But Craig, did the original question of what's the best gaming run a developer was on. He didn't like the answers per se. Okay, yours he said was the worst answer because he doesn't understand how a publishing studio works. Right, where you have a developing team working on the Metal Gear Solid games, but they might but Konami might release other games, but those are not the games from that developer, right? And because Kojima may appear on the credits as a producer here on Zone of Enders and in other games. He called some BS on your run, okay? Which I told him, I think it's fair. I think Kojima can appear on other games as a producer, but that team did the five Metal Gears in a row. So that was one of the things. Then he threw some shade at mine, because mine is that it's the best answer, but it's too long of a time span. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? If the question is...
Remind us, what was yours again? Dark Souls, wasn't it?
It was From Software, yes. Yeah, starting with Demon's Souls all the way to... Yeah.
The question wasn't, what's the best gaming run in a two-year period, was
it? Exactly, yes. So
sorry,
again...
Craig.
Exactly, and then same thing was aimed at Donut's answer, because Donut's answer was Naughty Dog. But now, with some time to reflect, I still think From Software is the correct answer. And no, like I said, I told Craig where to go. And Craig, we love you. Send more questions. Yeah, but also do one. With some time to reflect, there's two or three obvious ones we missed on that, mm-hmm. that I want to just quickly touch on. I think Playground Games from Forza Horizon 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Five, like, top-notch games, you know, no funny business in between. So those are the five games they made, and all five games are great. Valve from Half-Life 1 all the way to Alyx. Pretty much every game they release has been excellent, mm-hmm. you know, as well, with, you know, Portal 1 and 2. The core Mario team at Nintendo, because they've gone from Mario 64 to Galaxy, like you were talking about earlier, to Galaxy mm-hmm. 2, to New Super Mario Bros. I think they did as well on the DS. They did Mario Wonder, Odyssey.
Yeah, I agree, but I think we were right in that same podcast. We'd already, you know, Mario and like Half-Life and that had already come up. So I think we were right to skip those for the purpose of the podcast.
Yeah. To satisfy, the changed question after the fact, if we go if we don't go for a long run and we go more for a generation thing. So, a run on the PlayStation 3, a run on the PlayStation 4. if we must go with that, then I think it's hard to look past BioWare with their run of Mass Effect games on that generation. I think those three games were pretty good. That run of games there. I think it's hard to beat. And Bungie as well with Halo, Halo 1, 2, 3. I mean, I know that spawns two consoles, but you know, it was for that period those three. So that's other ones when you start narrowing it down to a generation here or there. But even when we do that, it's hard to look past From Software, because you can pick any period from Software. You know, if you want to pick the Xbox 360 PlayStation 3 period, they released what's that? Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, 1, 2, and 3. I want to say on that run. So I don't know. Anyway, so that's the complaint dealt with, I think. It had already been dealt by me, but I thought I would touch on that. But if you do have any opening questions for us, or any debates, anything you want us to discuss on the podcast, you can email podcast@monkeytail.co.uk, and we will give it a good go at answering your questions, or indeed debating your topics. So that leads us onto the Why Don't You, which is the final part of the show where we give you a recommendation of something to do, something to read, something to watch, something to eat, anything really that we find interesting. So can I start on this, right?
You can.
I wanted to listen to something else. I have lots of books on Audible that are on my to playlist still to play as in listen. I don't know if you're a subscriber to Audible, because I know you listen to audiobooks still, but I don't know if you're an active subscriber, or if you just get
not at the moment. No.
If you're an active subscriber, you get access to the Audible Plus catalog. I don't know if you know that. Are you aware of that? Yeah. Okay. So they had a series. I think there's 7 books in the series called The Murderbot Diaries, and the first 5 books. The first 5 books are all in the Audible Plus catalog thing. So if you're a subscriber, and the first one was only like 3.5 hours long, I'm like, great little novella to go. And basically, you follow the story of this murder bot. So this is in the future. Companies, corporations use this hybrid clone / machine person. They're not a person, they're a thing on this particular universe, a tool to work as security for on new planets that are being terraformed or being investigated by different factions and different corporations. They hire out these tools to this, you know, thinking tools, but that they're not seen as people. And if they don't obey, so basically they're slaves. If they don't obey a direct order, or they have this thing in their brain that will just shock them, you know, and make them comply. Mm-hmm. And if they do something really bad, then it just kills them. So it follows the story of this sec unit that calls himself the murder bot, and he manages to hack his governor module. So he doesn't have to obey, but rather than going on a murdering rampage, he starts downloading lots of TV series and starts watching soap operas instead. He likes watching soap operas, and he gets really engrossed in the soap opera. So he continues his work as a sec unit, whilst doing his job properly and obeying, but for the most part just watching TV in his head. And then shit ensues, and it goes on. So it's really good. Each book kind of like follows a step on his journey. It's really well written. It's good action, good humor, and good sci-fi, really good sci-fi. I've listened to the first 5 free books, you know, like the you know, they're all three to four hours long, and then I bought two of out of the three that you need to buy to make the seven. And the first one was like an actual novel, was like 12 hours, and, mm-hmm. and the other one is only 6 hours long, but really good stories. So, I mean, just really good sci-fi stuff. So if you have credits, it's worth a credit, definitely. But if you subscribed for a month, it's definitely worth just listening to it for free on with your subscription. Yeah, like I said, I'm on to book. I've started book six now, or seven. Maybe that's eight. Anyway, don't know. But I think I'm on book six now. Anyway, and it's I'm really, really enjoying it. And they're small. Like you can you know, couple of journeys, and you know, depending on where you're going, they're quite easy to listen to. Yeah. So that's the Murderbot Diaries, and it's. What is yours? What is yours? Look interesting.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit of an old one, but I finally got round to watching the series 6 of Black Mirror.
Okay, I've seen one episode from it, I think.
It's brilliant in the way that Black Mirror always has been, and you know, each episode doing its own thing. It's got its own little sort of story to tell, and. Yeah. You know, quite often, you know, that it comes out, you know, there's something that comes out of nowhere and you're not, you know, you don't quite know where it's going. And it has, you know, they generally, you know, they have something to say about the human condition or society or technology or whatever it might be. I think, you know, it's another good series for Black Mirror. That in particular for me, it was the second episode. It's called Lock Henry, set in Scotland. I was quite creeped out by it. You know what I mean? it's like a true crime type thing. This. Sort of couple of students, like a couple, you know, they've obviously like met at university, and they're making films, and they're trying to tell this story, and like they go back to this guy's hometown, mm-hmm. where it comes out about this story about a serial killer that was in the area in the past, and. It's them sort of telling the story of this this killer, and yeah, I found it quite creepy and disturbing. But really, really well filmed and really well done. That was the one that sort of stood out to me, just because it's one of those things that I thought about afterwards. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, I've seen episode one only, which is the Joan is awful, the one with Salma Hayek, and I thought that was. Very good, actually.
It was.
Always a good recommendation. There's so many episodes from it that I haven't seen. I think I've seen all of season one and two, and then the other ones I've only seen the episodes here and there.
I've gone through all of them. Again, like it's one of those. Not everyone's going to hit because they are sort of different. You know, each one is quite different.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those. Not everyone's going to be to everyone's taste, but I think that's part of the beauty of it is that, you know, it's this anthology.
I'm looking here on season three, Nosedive, which is the one where this woman is trying to boost her social media profile. And then that was quite good. I remember that one being really good. That's some really interesting ones. Some good stuff there. Did you see the movie? The movie where you can make choices?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. What was it called again? I forgot it.
I can't remember.
Did you like it though? The one we make it.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did quite enjoy it. Like it was all right. Again, I didn't think it was. It was amazing. But yeah, it was good. Oh fuck! doing my head in now that I can't remember what that was called. Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch, indeed. Yes.
There you go. That was good. And look, I'm going to drop a cheeky second. Why don't you? Because there's nothing you can do to stop me, really. I mean, you could cut me off.
I could edit this out.
I know you're not going to do that. So
I could.
You could, but you're not going to, are you?
I might.
No.
No, this is 100% getting cut now, just out of principle. In fact, I might just leave this part of me saying this and then just cut your part completely, so people will never know. We'll never know what you say.
I'm still going to say it for the void. I've also finally got round to watching the entire first series of The Last of Us.
Oh, you watched the entire first series of Thoughts?
Yes.
Okay, that is. Did you like it?
I did like it, yeah. I thought it was an excellent adaptation of the story. Again, you know, I think the two leads are fucking great in it. I think, you know, I think the visuals are fucking good as well. Like, you know, it looks good. The way that they've done that environment is good. I think, you know, the way that they've changed it.
Did you ever watch Chernobyl? We talked about it before. Have you watched Chernobyl?
No, I did not.
Because it's the same... Well, the creator of The Last of Us, not Neil Druckmann, the showrunner.
The TV person.
The guy that did Chernobyl. And,
yeah.
Oh, but you haven't seen Chernobyl. I mean, this is almost like, you need to watch Chernobyl. Chernobyl is six episodes, right? And... if I go by the six episodes alone, it might be the best TV show ever made. You know, like by the quality of it, it's that good. Chernobyl is that good, and there's a lot of Chernobyl in The Last of Us in terms of the storytelling and the way certain things are presented. You need to watch Chernobyl, man. It's that good. And what I recommend, I know it's a hard recommendation, I recommend watch Chernobyl. Don't binge watch it. Difficult to say that, but watch one maybe a day or one every 2 days, yeah, and listen to the podcast in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the official podcast for Chernobyl is made by the showrunner, and it just gives you so much more stuff because it's a true story of what happened. Because then when you watch Chernobyl, you go like, oh yeah, that's interesting, but it's a TV show, yeah, and then you go like, oh no, that shit is basically pretty much verbatim. You know, like what, things, you know, it tells you what parts are changed for storytelling, what parts are absolutely true, and you go like, oh shit, that's a lot more of it is true than I thought. It's gripping, man. It's Chernobyl is phenomenal. But yes. I'm saying all this shit is getting cut anyway, so none of this shit is making it into the podcast. You know that. We've cut ages ago. We're now again we started in the future, we're now in the past, you know. or in a segment cut from the present time continuum.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
How do you spell continuum? There you go. That would work. That's excellent. No, I will leave it all. I was joking. I'm not going to cut it. Mainly because I'm too lazy to cut it. Also because it's good content.
I know.
but more importantly, because it's good content. If it was shit content, I would cut it off. I don't know if you noticed on the last podcast, but there was stuff that was cut from the beginning of the podcast and re-recorded. Did you ever notice that?
No. Secret, I've stopped listening to our podcasts.
Okay, good. So have I.
I'm listening to it now.
I really struggle to listen to our own podcast, and it's not because it's not a good podcast, because it is. But I struggle to listen to it straight away. I quite happily go and listen to a podcast from 3 years ago and enjoy it. But I struggle with one that was recently recorded.
I agree. Yeah, because I just find I didn't have the time, and like I quite often, you know, I'm not really listening to it.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I used to listen just to see if I missed anything.
Sound quality and stuff like that.
But we're now lucky enough that we have enough listeners to that let me know, oi, idiot, that thing is wrong.
Oh, couldn't hear Marius the whole time. Oh, shit. Oh,
maybe one day, maybe one day I'll get that podcast where your voice is gone, and I'll just replay your part. It's just in a higher pitch voice. Hello, I'm Marius, and I love Bruno. maybe I just do not that you have a high pitched voice, but just so people can understand. I can do that on my amazing Bromley accent. Are you ready for this?
I think we've done this before.
I'm from Birmingham.
An Indian bad. From Birmingham, maybe.
What? What? I'm from Birmingham. Good, eh? Good. It's like the Birmingham accent is like almost everything goes up at the end. What are you doing here? You know, like everything goes up at the end. Yeah, and they say toss rather than teeth. You know, to all our Brummy listeners listening to this. Listen, okay, it's fine. At least you don't have a Scouse accent, okay? And to all our Scouse listeners, sorry guys, hey, come on, man, you know, come on. What's up with your accents, guys? Come on. And I cannot talk. I have a very strong accent. Remember when we first started getting some reviews for the podcast? Somebody said that they don't understand the Mexican gardener talking. Something along those lines. People on the internet can be right shits. You know what I mean? You know, we try. You know, fuck you. Yeah, yeah. It's okay not to like him. It's not. They don't need for the game personal. You know what I mean? I'm a terrible gardener. I'm also not Mexican. So there you go. Yeah. Oh, tell you what I've seen as well. Just before we go, I've seen Roadhouse. The reimagining.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you absolutely should watch this movie, and it's fucking terrible.
I mean, I think that applies to the first Roadhouse.
No. Listen.
I need to watch the first Roadhouse.
Okay. The first Roadhouse is corny as fuck. Okay? Okay? I'm using an American term. Cheesy, right? Mm. Cheesy as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah? And, boot. Left boot, knife on a boot, whatever, you know, whatever. But it has a charm to it, right? And this one here, that's something to it. I mean, listen, I watched it to the end. Yeah, it made me laugh some parts. Yeah, it's the acting is terrible by everyone involved, other than Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, and there's some good actors in this. It's terrible by everyone. Your man, your Irish. Cage fighting, Connex, fucking awful.
I expect nothing other than.
I mean, he's chewing the scenery. Yum 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 yum. Just going around, just chewing the scenery. But it's brick. Is built like a brick house, and I mean, at one point he has a golf club in his hand, and like I always wanted to go clubbing, and then goes inside with a golf club, swinging the thing around. That type of stuff, right?
Yeah,
it's fucking awful. Having said that, it's a must see.
Is it Netflix?
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
It's a Prime movie, so it's on Prime. It's terrible. Oh, and also one thing I noticed, which I thought was interesting, when I was watching, you'll see what I mean when you see him. When Jake Gyllenhaal takes his top off, to me, it felt like I was looking in a mirror. Personally, I mean, I was like, wow, I'm gonna sue him because he's copying my physique, he did. And when you watch it, you know what I mean. He's fucking ripped, man.
Yeah, I know.
And by the way, to anyone that doesn't know what I look like, that's a joke, okay? It looks nothing like me. It's, you know, like people have an 8-pack, I think he's got a 12-pack going. He's got muscles that didn't know existed, and to be fair, so is Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is, but he's bigger now.
So that steroids will do that for you.
Is he? Sorry, so he's on.
He's on steroids, man.
Mate, it's massive, man. It's massive. It's terrible. Honestly, everyone involved should be ashamed of themselves for the acting. But there's some good fighting. It's on a trailer. This part, so I can talk about it if you've seen the trailer. There's a part in particular where he fights this group of guys just by slapping them all, slap slap slap. Just,
I mean, I quite like that.
I like a good slap. Like, you know, like when you just slap, and at one point he does the thing where he goes slap, the guy protects, and then he slaps him. You know, that stop and then slap anyway. You know, that type of slap.
Yeah, slapping's good because it surprises people. Because no one expects a slap. Everyone, especially when it's guys fighting, like, not everyone expects a punch. So just to give someone a slap. Yeah. I don't even need to punch you.
That's a character in it. One of the bad guys. One of the smaller bad guys from that gets slapped at the beginning. He's very, very funny because he's one of those. You know, like when you have bad guys and one of them realizes he's a bad guy and he's probably in the wrong side. he's quite funny. He's he's like, you know what? I think I'm good. I think I'm good. I think I'm not gonna fight you. I'm just gonna walk that way instead. Yeah, it's terrible. Watch it.
Yeah, you know what? I think you might have sold me on it. I think that might be my afternoon. I'm giving serious consideration to not doing any of the stuff that I've got to do today. Just having a day of chilling out. So
I mean, it's never going to happen as well. But I wish if I ever was in a position where a group of people were attacking me, I could just beat them all up by just slapping them because that's so cool. You don't see John Wick doing that. You don't see John Wick slapping people. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. A good slap is. I like a good slap in a movie. Anyway, terrible. But I need to watch the first Roadhouse again. Because by the way, that's also not good. But it's different.
Yeah.
No. Like, the original Roadhouse. It's like we talk about the video games when you have a 7, which is actually a 10. The Roadhouse is one of those. It's a 7. That's higher. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I need to go back and watch it. So
you know what?
I might double bill it.
Double billet, and you're gonna say I'm crazy.
The original's available streaming somewhere.
It's on Prime as well.
Is that on Prime as
they're
well?
They're both on Prime, cool. And so they think about these things, man. They wasn't born yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
they know what they're doing. And on Swayze, okay, because people say a lot of shit about some of his movies, yeah. I actually think, and you're gonna disagree with me, but that's fine. I don't care. Dirty Dancing is actually an excellent movie. It's one of those you probably don't remember it as being a good movie. You need to watch it again. It's actually a lot better than people remember it to be. Trust me, it is. I know you keep shaking your head. It's not Roadhouse.
It might be a good movie, but it's fucking out. I ain't gonna ditch Roadhouse for Dirty Dancing.
Don't ditch Roadhouse. Watch Roadhouse. Yeah. Anyway. We've gone over long with this Roadhouse shenanigan. I'll add Roadhouse to the. I want you after you watch it. I want you to send me a message and give me a scale of 1 to 10. What do you give to the movie? Okay, from 1 to 10. It's funny, man. Fun. It's a fun thing. Right. Okay. Well, let's leave it there then. Yes, it's been another good podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Hopefully, we'll have a donut here for the next one. I'm sure to be fair, I'm saying it's not all time. It is like early hours in the morning there, so it's probably just asleep. He's probably just asleep, you know, which is fair enough. I don't blame him. You know,
I don't know how he does it. I certainly wouldn't put that much effort into this podcast.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, I put as much effort as I can, you know. I have to edit shit out. I mean, to be fair, this why don't you has gone so long that I might have to edit, but I might just leave it all. I mean, a good editor would cut, you know, a good 70% of it off. This editor is leaving everything.
You're gonna add some more.
I might just turn the mic on again and just go for another half an hour talking about Roadhouse. talking about Roadhouse. There's a good gag on it as well where they talk about the word Roadhouse, because Roadhouse it should be one word. Roadhouse is all one word, but in the 80s movie is separated into two words. So there's a gag on it as well, which I thought was a good callback on the new one. One of the better things about it was that. Anyway, I'll leave it. Watch it. See what you think. Right, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with some more shenanigans. I've been Bruno Pinto. And I've been slapping.
You've been slapping.
Yeah. Yes, I knew you were going to say that. Very good. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it doesn't get there. It's good though.
All right, it's for podcast talk.
Get there though. I'm asking that stupid question. All right. just so you know, just as an FYI.